జయం విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్యం అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభువాదికి జయం. నిథిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన ధామ్కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి, మధురపురి ధామ్కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి, గంగమాయికి, హిమనమాయికి, తులసీదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమాముష్పదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ పూజలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసందదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతడ జయద్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామావికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనది కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశరీరవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయితే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమౌపనిషదేర్ గాయంతియం సమగాహ ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. We saw yesterday that famous verse in the Kathopanishad, which has come to Bhagavad Gita. Na jayate mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya ajo nityam shashvato ayam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Exactly the same words from Kathopanishad. But Upanishad says, na jayade mrede vah vipaschil, naayam kaschil, naayam kudaschil, na babhuva kaschil, ajonityam shashadayam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. So, Krishna has taken two verses from Kathopanishad, one after the other. The previous verse also, ya enam veti handaram, yaschainam manyade hadam, ubhayauto vijanido, naayam handina hanyade. That verse is also from Kathopanishad, which is handachen manyade handam, adachen manyade hadam, ubhauto na vijanido, naayam handina hanyade. Exactly the same thing. So, strong connection with Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita. Very strong connection, yeah. So, we saw yesterday that important statement that they are, Mahatmas are always situated in the self. They are stationed in the Antaryami, right? And because they are like that, the Swarupam, nature of the Antaryami is, it's original everything, isn't it? It's nothing artificial there. Everything is in its original state, is in the Antaryami. And therefore, although Antaryami is the oldest one, everything that comes from that is always new. And whatever happens to this body, whatever happens to the body, it does not in any way affect the Atma. Whatever happens to the body, it has no effect or impact on the soul. Impact on the soul. After saying that, what is the benefit of knowing that? What's the benefit of knowing that? That is the next verse. That all problems that's happening to the body has nothing to do with the soul inside, Atma inside. It's only on the bodily level it happens and leaves us. It has no effect on our real identity, which is Atma, on which it has no impact. That is what he's saying here. And that is why in the next verse, Veda vinashinam nityam ya enam ajam avyayam katham sa purusha partha kam khadayadi handikam. Khadayadi handikam. He says, hey Partha, Krishna is saying, hey Partha, one who understands this Swarupam properly of the Atma, means one who understands it is Avinashi, as you mentioned before. Avinashi tadviddi yena sarvam idam tatam. Avinashi, one who knows that, and one who knows that it is eternal, and one who knows that it is never born, and one who knows that it is avyayam, that it never gets exhausted. And therefore, one who knows that, the anandam or happiness that comes from that has no end either. Because the nature of Atma is such that it is avyayam. You can tap as much as you want from that. You can experience that anandam from the Atma. It never gets exhausted. Whereas everything connected with the mind, it has a beginning, it has an end. You can only get so much pleasure from that. Even with this body, you must have noticed, after a while, you had enough of it. You want to change. A time will come in life. Why is that? Because body is not come from the Atma. It has come from Prakriti. That's the reason. Anything that's coming from the Prakriti has a beginning and an end, and you will get fed up with it after a while. Whether it's body or the mind or the intelligence or the ego, whatever it senses, all of them, after some time, depending on everyone, you will get exhausted with it. You just don't want it. You want a change. That will happen. Even including this body. When the body starts giving trouble and you cannot do anything with the body, naturally you feel a little bit disgusted with it. You just want to get out of it after that. So that's Krishna is bringing out that point here. The difference between the body and the soul is this. Body, you can keep on exploiting it as much as you want, but one day or the other you will get fed up with it. Soul, Krishna is saying, on the other hand, it is Veda Avinashinam Nityam. It is eternal, and whatever you are getting from there, it is continuous, unending. You can get anandam from the soul. Yeah. So everything else, you will get bored with it, right? Everything else, you will feel at a certain time I had enough of it. Yeah, this feeling will come to all of us. It will come. One day you will feel I had enough of this body. Just want to go. This thinking will come, right? But happiness and anandam that comes from the Atma, you won't get bored. You won't get bored. And the proof of that is Sushupti. What you are experiencing in Sushupti, you never want to leave it. As much as you say, that even if a few days, even if you are given millions of dollars, after a few days, if you didn't get that Sushupti, a few minutes or a few hours, you want to get it at any cost. You want to go to sleep and get that rejuvenation from the Sushupti. You want it back. That shows the difference between the happiness from the Atma and happiness coming from the world or matter outside, right? That is why it's called avyayam. Avyayam. Veda vinashinam nityam aenam ajam avyayam. It is ajam, unborn, it is avyayam. Yeah. Once you have touched that antaryami inside, then it will be like this, he says, that, you know, the salt mountain wanted to see the depth of the ocean. Salt mountain went to the ocean to find its depth. In that process, what happened? The salt mountain got dissolved in the ocean. This is an example they give. Salt mountain wanted to see the depth of the ocean. Salt mountain went into the ocean and it saw there that in that process it got dissolved there. Similarly, our ahankaram also, our ego, that also, it wants to find out the depth of antaryami. In that process, it gets destroyed. It gets dissolved in the Atma. It gets dissolved in the Atma. That means ahankaram will become ahambodham. Ahambodham, right? So, and once the ahankaram has gone to ahambodham and fallen into that, then you cannot take it back again, get back again, right? So, ahankaram, when you inquire about that, mula anveshanam, what will happen? It goes back and fall into that pit called ahambodham, and it is called as a deep pit, this ahambodham. Ahambodham is a deep pit, it is. Mahagartham, it says. In Vishnu Sahasranamam, one of the names of Vishnu is this Mahagartham. Mahagartham means a very deep pit. Once you fall into that, you won't be able to come out from that, right? Unending pit. You will not come back again, right? So there was one famous scientist in Delhi, Professor M.S. Swaminathan, what was his name? He was the one who brought green revolution to India, they say. You know, India had a lot of problems with the food production. When they were following the traditional method of growing food, not bringing the fertilizers and manure and all that. So he decided to, because population was increasing, there wasn't enough food. And in the global market also, they were not able to buy enough. So they decide, there's the Indian Council of Agricultural Research, there is a organization in Delhi, and he was the head of that. And he brought green revolution, means that all these modern scientific methods of growing food, and suddenly the food production was boosted heavily, so that India didn't have to depend on others for the food, to buy the food, right? So this happened, and this Swaminathan, He has spent a lot of time with Gandhiji. They're all gone now. He spent a lot of time with Gandhiji, right? So once they were traveling together, Gandhiji and Swaminathan, at that time, a foreign scholar, they met in the train.
Then days nobody was flying a train, that too, third class train, they were traveling. That was a system. Everybody traveled by train then. So while traveling in the train, they met a foreigner. And the foreigner asked Swaminathan, "Have you met Ramana Maharshi?" They asked him, right? So he said that, "No, I haven't met him," he said. So he was living in Delhi, and Maharshi was in Tirunamalai, right? So one day he decided that I should go and see him, because everybody is talking about it. So he decided to go and see Ramana Maharshi, right? So he told somebody that, "I'm going to see Ramana Maharshi," but that person told Swaminathan, "When you go, you take your wife and children with you. Don't go alone," said. Immediately, Swaminathan understood what he meant. In other words, right, if you go alone, the possibility that you may get attracted to it and you leave your family and go. So if you take the family with you, the chances are that you will come back because the family will be with you. So the same thing, right? So that is why Atma, Andaryami and Mahatmas, they are all called Mahagartham. Mahagartham means a very deep pit. Once you have gone and joined them, it will be very difficult to get out of it, right? So what is the reason? Because they are the soul, Andaryami, Atma. So that Mahagartham, deep pit, is inside every one of us, right? And if the Ahangaram, our ego, look for Atma and start chasing that and go inner and inner, further and further, deep inside, one day it will fall into that pit and it will not come back once back again. That is what he's talking about, right? You won't be able to come back. And not only that, from that Atma realization of the self-realization, they will experience also bliss, unlimited bliss, and so therefore they won't want to leave anymore. Atma, Krishna is saying, Veda Vinashinam Nityam. It is Nityam, it has no Nasham, it doesn't get destroyed, no death, and and one who knows this, that this is the nature of Atma, Vedam Vinashinam Avinashinam Nityam. It has no destruction and it is eternal. And one who knows, Ya Enam Ajamavyayam, one who knows this, that he, Atma, is not Karta, not Bhokta. That is the point Krishna is trying to make here. He has told us how to deal with Ragadvesham before, through Tidiksha. Now, through this, how to deal with Karta, Bhokta. That's what Krishna is explaining here. How to get rid of that from inside, right? So Purushaha, so therefore he is saying, Krishna is saying here, that one who knows Karta and Bhokta, he is not Karta and Bhokta, such a person is not killing anybody nor getting killed. He is not killing anyone and he is not getting killed. So this killing and not killing and all, Katham sa Purusha Partha, Krishna is asking Arjuna, Katham sa Purusha Partha, Kam Kadayadi Handi Kam. Who is killing then? Only when you have, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am doing karma and I take the ownership, I am the doer, and I do the karma and I want the results from that, only then you are bound by that. Otherwise you are not bound. Karma binds us through these two things, karta bhokta, aham karta, aham bhokta. That is what we are struggling with. Karma, what the way it bounds is through vasana. You do a karma, creates a vasana, you are bound. And everything what you do will create vasana. And so karma creates vasana through which bondage comes. Aham karta, aham bhokta comes. So that's what Krishna is saying here. If you don't have that, vasana is not there, you are not bound, and you don't have aham karta, aham bhokta. Such a person, Krishna says, who is killing whom then? Krishna's argument is that. Who is killing whom then? Kam kadayadi handikam. He said. So, because he knows that nothing can be done here, and he also knows that you cannot kill anyone. Body will get killed, but to destroy a person's existence is not possible. That's what it means. Suppose you want to kill someone, you can kill his body, but the person, Andaryami, the Atma inside, which is his actual identity, you cannot destroy it. It will always stay, no matter what you do. So, that is what he's saying. When it is like that, why does Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight then? It is like that. So, for vyavaharam purposes, yuddham is vyavaharam. Yuddham is not a spiritual activity. It is vyavaharam, isn't it? For vyavaharam you have to do the yuddham. So you can do whatever you want to do there. Right? Whatever you have to do. Knowing very well, because Arjuna's job is fighting. Arjuna is a kshatriya. He has to fight. That's his vasana inside. So Krishna is telling to Arjuna that you have that vasana inside you and you won't be able to stop it. You will fight at the end, he said to him. So, therefore, Krishna has only asked Arjuna to fight. He has not asked every one of us to fight. Because Arjuna's job is fighting. That is his profession, yeah? And Krishna tried many ways before this to avoid the war. He tried. Krishna tried himself, right? And Krishna knows that it is not going to happen. Krishna has come to that conclusion, right? This war, Krishna knows that Prakriti has decided that this war has to happen. Mahabharata war. Prakriti has already decided and Krishna knows that, right? And it is going to happen. And simply Arjuna saying that, I won't fight and all that, it's not going to work. Prakriti has decided. Yeah. And Krishna also knows that Arjuna won't be able to not to fight. Arjuna won't be able to do that, right? Arjuna is saying, not saying that I won't fight. What he is saying is that, so he is saying to, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, why are you so adamant, obstinate about this, that you will not fight? Why have you got this conflict inside? You know very well you are a kshatriya, you have to fight the war. That is your sabhavam prakriti in you. On the other hand, you are giving all this great philosophy to me, Krishna says to Arjuna. And that means it's a conflict inside him, in Arjuna. Yeah. So, that is what Krishna is asking him. He says to Arjuna, you won't be able to refrain from fighting, right? Because you were created to do fighting. You are created to fight, right? And Prakriti has brought you up in this world from very early age in life and injected this vasana strongly in you, and you will be forced to fight even if you won't be able to fight against Prakriti. Krishna is making it clear. Arjuna was called as Savisachi, means one capable of shooting the arrows with both hands, left and the right hand, right? So, all these capacity had come to him, that is, Prakriti has done that in him. Prakriti has done in him. There's a few things to understand here. Yeah. People think, when you see some extraordinary talent in people, we admire that a lot, is it not? Say, in music, in sports, just like in football, they will always say Messi, Messi, Messi. And the big footballer from Argentina, or Ronaldo. And our boys also having the t-shirt with Messi and Ronaldo. You see them at the temple when they come. So what does that mean? It means that they have something which is different from others. When they play, they win always. They got that special talent in football, right? Same thing in music, in sports, and different fields you find with people, they have acquired some special power in them, which you don't find in the ordinary other players, right? Other people, right? So, we are thinking that it is their power. We are thinking that it is their power. Actually, it is not. It is a Prakriti working through them. Sometimes Prakriti does this. to create this problem in us that, and parents also think that, oh, my son has no talent or my son has no special capacity. Actually, it is not his talent or capacity. It is Prakriti doing it through that person. For some reason, unknown reason, why Prakriti is doing that, right? And what parents do is they tell the children, look, you don't have any abilities like others have got, and create this competition in their mind, right? So, actually, it's not a good thing, because if you make people more and more, in the modern world it is like that, isn't it? You have to be competitive. Always this competitive spirit. 100% against spiritual life. This competition business. That is why Bhagavatam began sad. Nirmal Saranam Satam. Satam, always. Nirmal Saranam. Nirmal Saranam means you are not in spiritual life to compete with anyone. That's the first principle. If you start that competitive mentality, then you have a long way to go in spiritual life. It is like that. That's spiritual life, many things are exactly opposite what is in the material life. So, Nirmal Saranam Sadam means always free from this competing business with others. You don't have to compete with anyone. It's not a it's not a football match, this spiritual life. So, so nowadays, because this thing has gone so much, this competition business, children at an early age gets affected by this because of the pressure from the parents, pressure from the society, and they cannot grow up properly because they grow up with this mindset, I have to compete, I have to be number one, I have to be on the top of everybody else. This mindset, which is totally not favorable for spiritual life, but they grow up with this tendency and later on they find it difficult to get out of it, to come out of that, right? So, so now many educationists are saying that this is not doing good for the children because they are getting sick at an early age because of all this pressure, stress, what has been built up by the parents and the society altogether, that you have to perform very well in the society, otherwise you are useless. You are not needed in this world. You cannot do anything. You are not capable, right? So this leads into envy, pride, and things like that, right? This talent what we are talking about, basically it is a siddhi. It is a siddhi. It has nothing to do with that person. It's nothing to do with that person, but we won't know that. That is the problem. We think that person has got something extraordinary in him. No. It is the Prakriti doing it through him, right? And people don't understand the mechanism of that. Somehow or the other, it comes through them in that way, right? And they also don't have the freedom of not having it. Even if they say they don't want it, it will come through them. They also don't have the freedom for that, right? Just like you can see that in the music industry, music you will see, Sahityam, literature, you will find that. Then different kinds of arts, you see the same thing. These all comes with that person by birth itself, and it is Prakriti's arrangement. Prakriti does this through them, right? They themselves do not know how it has happened that way. Somebody asked Messi about it. Messi said, I don't know. When I kick the ball, it goes into the post. When everybody else kicks, it goes somewhere this way, that way. And asked Messi, what have you done? I said, I don't know. He says, this is how it is. I mean, people, young people particularly, they get affected by all these things. Is it not? They say, I have to become like Messi. And then they buy the t-shirt with Messi on the back. Wear it. So see the nature to identify with something is so strong in them, right? Similarly, this happens in music also. Big musicians in classical music and film music also. People have a tremendous attachment to those things, right? And they themselves do not know where this talent has come from. They also don't know. That's Prakriti. That's what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Arjuna, you are thinking that you got all these qualities. Prakriti has put that into you and you won't be able to resist it. It will come and it will start working in its own way. That's the important thing to understand here, right? Similarly, artists who draw pictures, they also don't know where it's coming from. But something in them that makes them become very artistic. Right? So, without their knowledge, another force from the Prakriti is operating through them. Right? Similarly, Arjuna has this special talent of fighting. That is a talent the Prakriti has put into him. And it will work. Krishna can see all that. And that's why Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you won't be able to resist it. Because if the talent is inside, you won't be able to stop it. Talent will push you to fight. And that's what he was saying here. It is not yours, but it is Prakriti. Prakriti has done that, right? And he says here that such people who knows this, what should they do? That when these kind of different talents are coming through you, whatever it may be, whether it is sports or whether it is poetic capacity, writing poetry and all that, or it is any other field, artistic or anything, remember that Krishna is the root of all the mulam, or the root of all arts and all sports and all music, everything, right? And therefore, everything, they should offer everything to the source, Krishna, who has given this power to them. When the power is flowing through them, they should offer all their results to Antaryami, who has given them this power. That's all. They should realize very well, it is nothing to do with them. It's not their capacity, speciality with them, anything, right? And you should not take any responsibility for that. Knowing very well that Krishna as Antaryami inside is making them to do it in this way. Yeah. And there was a person, some intelligent people who sense all these things. Generally, people are not conscious of all these things, isn't it? That Prakriti is doing all these things through them. They think they've got something special. They're not something, nothing to offer special, but when it happens, people get deluded by that. So, Prakriti has got many aspects like this. Yeah, Vaibhavam, they call it. Vaibhavam means this kind of siddhis. Prakriti has a nature to release the siddhi through different people at different times. When scientists do research and then they find out something and then they get Nobel Prize and all, people are thinking that they must be very intelligent people. That's why they got it. No, it is not like that. They work hard to find out something. They didn't know that the end result was going to make them very popular. They didn't know about it. But it so happened that after their research work, when something was invented, when they got Nobel Prize and all, they themselves some scientists have said this also, we didn't know what we were doing. It happened like this, they say. That is how these atom bombers come. Only thing is, went in the wrong way. The atom bomb was invented in that way. Similarly, many other things as well. Yeah. So, what Krishna is saying to Arjuna, that to fight this war, you are not the person who is going to decide this, right? And we have selected you all together. We all together have selected you to do this fighting, right? And you don't have any freedom not to fight, right? So why you worry about it? Krishna is asking. Why you worry about it, right? And if you say that I am not going to fight, that is also not going to happen, right? And that is why, that is the principle. In the 18th chapter, if you look, there's a verse Krishna is saying at the very end, he said, 59th verse, And that's exactly what the point is Krishna is making here. Yad ahangaram ashritya, 1859. Yad ahangaram ashritya, na yolse idi manyase, mithyesha vyavasayase, prakriti swam niyokshadi. Same thing, Krishna is stressing that again. Even if you try to escape from this, no, prakriti will force you to fight. Krishna is saying, with full confidence, Krishna said that. Yeah. He says, yad ahangaram ashritya. If you are refusing to fight, it's your ahangaram is doing this. That means Krishna is saying to Arjuna that your knowledge is imperfect. You don't understand things properly. You are based completely operating on the basis of sentiments and emotions, not based on knowledge. That's the point Krishna is trying to get across to him. Yad ahangaram ashritya, na yolse idi manyase, and you decide I'm not going to fight, mithyesha vyavasayase, prakriti swam niyokshadi. Your decision is or useless, he said. Prakriti will force you to fight. With full confidence, Krishna made that statement to Arjuna. So there are subtle things to understand in Bhagavad Gita that we don't, lot of things, ahangaram thinks that ahangaram is doing it. Ahangaram is not doing anything. Ahangaram can't do anything either. It is the false, that is why ahangaram is a false thing. It's not real, yeah? So after saying that, Krishna is saying to him that through ahangaram you cannot refrain from fighting. It will force you to fight. Prakriti will do it, Krishna says. That you have no right, no choice to renounce. And if you get to realize this in life, then you have become free. If you have realized this, you have become free. So what does that point out to us? This is the Sharanagati process, bhakti. Bhakti means that knowing this very well, Krishna is doing everything through us, and I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, you will get clarity on that. If you continuously surrender the karmam to Krishna, Krishna is doing that. Continuously, if you do that, Krishna says, you will become free from this problem of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Aham karta, aham bhokta. That's the way to come out of it. As he mentioned about ragadvesham before, how to become free from ragadvesham, Krishna is saying, if you want to become free from this aham karta, aham bhokta problem, because you see, aham karta, aham bhokta, ragadvesham is the world. Nothing else. World is not all the matter what you see here. The impact of the world in us, that is what the world is. That's how Shastram will see the world. Shastram don't look at the world in terms like the way we are looking at the world. For Shastram, what matters is, what is the impact of this world on us? And there are four things. Ragadvesham, Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva. So Krishna told us that ragadvesham, you can become free from that, cultivating that quality of tidiksha in everything. Over a period of time, you'll become free from this problem of ragadvesham. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam, if you want to become free from that, Krishna says, everything that karmam coming through you, karmam is a big thing. It is in the next chapter, that's what going to be discussed about karmam. And if you understand the intricacies of the karmam, you won't be able to do any karmam, because to such an extent it is complex, the influence of karmam on us. And Krishna is saying here now, that if you understand and surrender everything to Andaryami instead. Andaryami is doing that. If you develop that mindset all the time, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, Prakriti is doing it, gradually you will become free from that. Aham karta, aham bhokta. That is the point Krishna is making here. So, and you will see this statement all over the Bhagavatam, constantly saying to us, yeah? And not only that, if we act like that in others also, that nature will come, right? And you won't blame anyone for anything, right? Even in vyavaharam, normal vyavaharam in this world, you can see that within ourselves we know that nobody is responsible for anything. Things happen in this world, isn't it? There's a lot of things, but you will get blamed if you accept the blame for that, or you'll be praised for that. This praising, blaming and all that is coming from that. Yeah. So therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi told Yudhishthira, Ishasya hi vashe loko yosha darumayi yatha, in the first canto. Famous statement. Yesterday Vidura said to one thing, isn't it? What did he say? यश्च मूढतमो लोके यश्च बुद्धे परम गदाः. He says, those two people have no problems. Mudha has no problem. And one who has transcended intelligence, they also don't have problem. In between, who is there? Krishyanti Atyanta Aridam Janaha. They suffer a lot. Who has not completely stupid and who has not transcended the intelligence. They were the one who suffers in this world. Vidura was saying to Maitreya. Similarly, Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, Ishasihi Vashe Logo Yosha Dharumayi Yatha. This big show of this creation is running under that superior power, and he knows what he is doing. He doesn't need your advice or your help for that. He can do it himself. And unfortunately, we are all just puppets in his hands. We are all the puppets who are moving around here, right? And none of us have any independent desires or kartrutvam, I am the doer, we don't have that. None of us have that, right? They have been created in that way. Krishna has created them in that way. That's all. One who knows this principle, what? Ishasihi vashe logo yosha dharumai yatha. One who knows that we are all just puppets in Krishna's hands. Krishna is playing with us in different roles, and one day or the other, everybody realizes this to some extent, isn't it? As you get older, you start seeing, and you look back to your life, you start realizing that you have planned your life in one way, and it happened in another way, everything. Totally different way it went. And then you start thinking, so what does my planning got to do with my life then? You come to understand that at some point in time, but you have to get old by then. By then time is too late. But Krishna, this is the thing, you see, everything you realize it by the time you are going to die. What's the point? So it has to happen way before that. So Krishna's point is that, right? one who realizes this, they won't blame anyone for what is going on in this world. Why things are happening? The reason is that Prakriti has decided to do it that way. And if you give it back to the Prakriti, who has made the decision, you don't have any involvement in that. So, and you won't think that you are responsible or others are responsible for that. Whatever way pravarti, action has to happen, it will keep flowing in that way, right? Once you know this principle, life is bliss. No stress in life, right? And in this flow of life, what we call it as life, which is nothing but like a river, it's flowing, right? Mudhas, they are happy because sometimes mudhas don't take any responsibility. Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, they don't have, right? Sometimes they won't have it. And therefore, no matter what happens, because they don't think anything about anything, they'll be happy. Mudhas. Some mudhas are like that. Whatever happens, they'll do something and things would have gone wrong and they won't bother about it. It's gone, gone. That way, their attitude, right? And so they will be happy, mudhas will be happy. Jnanis, realized souls, they are also happy. They also don't have any problems. It is this on in between who is carrying. Mudhas don't take any responsibility, irresponsible as you can say that. Totally irresponsible. They'll do whatever you tell them to do, and if it works out, it works out. They are not bothered about it, totally. Like that. And we think that they are useless, but they are happy in life. Similarly, people who have self-realized, they are also not affected by karma. It is the ones in between who is in the trouble, right? So, a village person has gone into the town. Yeah, has gone. A village man has gone into the town. You know, when village people goes to the city, how they are? They are in a for them everything is a new thing they are experiencing, and they also know that they are not so sophisticated like the city people are, and they are village nature, isn't it? So village people, you have noticed, and they will ask you which way to go and all that, whereas we will be with our this thing in the hand, holding it like this, and we'll be walking. This is the city ones, yeah, who carry this thing, and they won't ask anybody and they want to disturb anyone. No. Whereas village people will stop everybody and ask, which is the way to this place or that place. They will ask like that, right? So he came to the town like that, and he asked someone, a city man, which is the way to the town center, or something like that, some direction he was asking. So the city man was not very impressed. He thought he is a villager who doesn't know anything. He said, see that tree there? On top of that, there is a road there going. If you look through the top of the tree, there's a road going there. And if you go on that road, it will get you to the city center or something. He said like that, right? So what did he do? He jumped onto the tree. Went into the top and looked for the road. The road, what he said, it's going there, right? And he went and stood at the top, and he has been looking and hanging onto that, one of the branches on the tree, right? He couldn't see anyone, nor the road, nor the route either. And while he was sitting there, somebody else came on top of an elephant, a man on an elephant, top of an elephant, right? And he also when he got to the tree, he saw this man sitting on the top. So he jumped on the top of the elephant to the tree, and he joined him. And both of them had no clue how to go to the town center, right? So he asked him, why are you sitting here? He said, I am waiting for the road, to see the road which is going to the town center, he said. In the meanwhile, there's also a river flowing at the bottom. So at that time, by mistake, the elephant man on the elephant, he fell into the river from the top of the tree. When he fell, the other man felt that he should help him, and he also fell. So both of them are in the river now, and they are together talking to each other and swimming also at the same time, right? And they were enjoying it together while swimming, talking to each other, right? Somehow or the other, before the river got into the ocean, they managed to escape from the river. Before the river got into the ocean, they swam across and managed to come out of the river, right? And when they got there, they realized that they are almost close to the town center, which they wanted to go, right? So one says to the another, we never traveled like this before to the town center, the way we have come now, right? So what this story is saying is, it's Upanishad story, what it's saying is, mudhas are like this in this world, people who are mudha. Mudha means, they live in this world with some ideas in their head, that if they can get some happiness here and there, they think life is perfect, and life is fulfilled its needs, right? So, in other words, they won't use any of their intelligence or mind in anything, right? What they will do is, throughout life, they just want to enjoy. That's a symptom of this mudhatva. Simply always thinking, always an opportunity for enjoyment. And while enjoying, they will get a lot of suffering also. They will forget that as much as possible, because they can forget sufferings like that. They will take wherever little enjoyment you can get here or there, they will be chasing that all the time. And they are happy with that. Some of the people, when they are getting very old, what they say about life, if you listen to that, you will see their understanding of life. What did they get from this life in this world? Yeah. So, so that is that mudhatvam, what he is talking about. Mudhatvam is like this, that life, everything is okay, whatever we can get out of it, some happiness here, some happiness there, that's more than enough, they are satisfied with that. So that is how they run their life in this world, mudha. Krishna calls them mudha, Ajari Swamiji calls them mudha, avajananti ma mudha, manushintani maashadam, that mudhatvam is like that, right? So, for us it is a problem, because you think about things, right? And we are the people who are doing the planning work all the time. We want to plan everything, right? And then we start thinking. Krishna is going to say here, this thinking business is not our swarupam. It is only in the ahankaram you think. Atma doesn't think. You see? People appreciate if you are very thoughtful. This is a very thoughtful person, he says. That is not considered to be very good and from spiritual angle. If you are very thoughtful, that means you get affected by the thoughts. And Krishna is making it very clear, thoughts and emotions are all in the mind. It comes from the mind only, not from the soul. In your swarupam, there is no thinking business. Thinking business, right? So, so one option is, knowingly, with full consciousness, you have to destroy this thought business, thought thinking business, right? Otherwise, if you can live in this world without thinking, like an idiot or a fool, then you will escape from this world, because you won't create any vasana. Whereas the ones who are thinking and doing things, they are the ones who create all the vasanas, particularly, right? So that is why there's two things, chitta and chinta. Chinta burns you while living, chitta burns you after death. Gold is green. You get there, they will burn your body. That is chitta. Chinta, whole life you are thinking, 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 and it's burning us inside. Yeah? So, so chinta burns your life and chitta burns your body at the end. One who knows this, Krishna is saying there, that this karta bhokta, which is coming from the chinta, not knowing, accepting that this, I'm not the karta, I'm not the bhokta, he will go with the life freely. He will flow with the life, whatever is happening. Without kartratva bhoktatvam, he will be able to live in this world. And that is Krishna's important point. Then he is saying here, the destination of jiva. Krishna is going to talk about it. The destination of the jiva. What happens to jiva, right? Because it is a relative thing of this journey of the jiva. It's a very relative thing. This punarjanmam means rebirth. Punarjanmam. Punarjanmam is not absolute thing. Do you understand that? What that means? Punarjanmam is not absolute thing, nor it is vavaharigam. Neither paramarthigam nor vavahariga satyam it is. This is a complex thing because people get concerned about it and they argue as though it is an absolute thing. You remember we talked about this before, discussion between Shankaracharya and Vedavyasa Maharshi about the leaving the body and going into the next body. All this is discussed there. They are talking about, they are saying that this punarjanmam is not an absolute thing in the sense that it's a relative thing it is, punarjanmam, right? Basically, what is punarjanmam? It is the journey of the subtle body. Is it not? Because jiva is in the subtle body. So, journey or punarjanmam means it's the journey of this subtle body. Subtle body is the one which carries the jiva, pranam together and goes into the next gross body, whatever it is, right? So, from absolute platform, Atma doesn't have a rebirth or anything. Atma doesn't go through all these things. Atma is present everywhere, right? And that is from absolute platform. On a relative platform, on vyavaharam level, this birth and death, we are not seeing directly happening. In the sense that, suppose I left this body, you won't be able to see me when I take my next body, where I come in another body, right? We don't know. Every one of us. We leave this body, we'll come with another body here, and this connection between the two is unknown to us. Is it not? It's unknown to us. Right. So, therefore, the sushma shariram, subtle body. That is what another terminology for that is jiva. Jiva, right? The another terminology for this vasana shariram. Because all the vasanas are there in that, right? And that is working inside us with a lot of emotions and thoughts in that subtle body, right? And when we go to sleep, also it's working. In the dream world, the same subtle body is working in the dream world, right? That means that is a proof that without the help of the gross body, it can conduct its vyaharam on its own. Dream state is the proof of that. Now we thought about that, right? That we it is doing business through the gross body in the vacant state. And it does business in the dream state independently, without the help of the gross body. It can do that. So basically, Krishna's point is, it is the sushma shariram you should be concerned about, not about the stula shariram. Stula shariram is not giving you much trouble. Whole trouble is coming from the sushma shariram. So stula shariram, it has got a life, and it will drop off one day, and it is finished with it, with you. It is gone its own way. But sushma shariram is the one which is going with you to the next body, and it can do business on its own. And so, therefore, even if the gross body has destroyed, even though gross body is destroyed, the subtle body can still work, do various things. That what is called as psychic energy. Psychic energy, right? It has not gone and it will not be destroyed. Right? And because it has got that psychic energy in that subtle body, it has to do some work and it has to execute that psychic energy in some form, somewhere. And therefore, that subtle body does require another gross body in order to dissipate that psychic energy what it has got in the subtle body. For that purpose, a subtle body needs another body to operate. To operate. Just like a media through which it can do its, the vasana inside can operate, come out. Right? So, and that is the reason Krishna is saying that this another body has to come. And that journey of that subtle body is the next verse. If you look at the next verse, 22.
Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grihnadi naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirna anyadi samyati navani dehi. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grihnadi naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirna anyadi samyati navani dehi. Dehi means jiva. Dehi means jiva, right? Dehi leaves this body and Dehi goes into the next body. How? Vasamsi. Just like clothes you change in the same way. We throw away our old clothes and put on new clothes. Similarly, when this body has become old, it leaves this body and it accepts a new body. Right? Jirnani means, what does that mean? Jirnani doesn't mean getting old age. That's not what it means. Jirnani means, right? Because sometimes small children die. So when Krishna is saying like that, you have to think about that. When he says that you get old and then you die, leave the body. Not like that. Children also die sometimes. Middle-aged people die sometimes, right? Young age, the people can die, right? Jirnani means not that the body has become old and you got old and that way you are dying. No, that's not what it means. Jirnani means in sushma shariram, in your subtle body, in this particular life, whatever vasanas you have brought with you to be
destroyed in this life. Those vasanas are destroyed. Those vasanas get dissipated completely. That is what jirnani means. Jirnani doesn't mean the gross body getting old and dying. That's a misunderstanding. Jirnani means the vasanas inside us. You see, a certain amount of vasana, you are going to get extinguished in this life. That is how they call it, prarabdha vasana. Vasanas are big, big stack there. Out of that, a certain amount of vasanas has to be destroyed in this life. It has to be experienced and it has to be destroyed in that way, by experiencing it. So those vasanas meant for this life, when it gets destroyed, then it is jirnani. Not the body, not the gross body, right? So, that means in this particular life, in this particular body, the prarabdha what you are meant to go through, when that is finished, that's called the jirnani. We must know this, because when you read the verse, normally people think the other way. Vasamsi jirnai, old, you get old, old, body has become old, therefore that is a gross understanding. The proper understanding is like this. Ajari Swami says that. That the vasanas that has come to be destroyed in this life, when that vasanas have run out for this particular life, then immediately you have to leave the gross body. That is the reason behind that, right? And because the remaining vasanas inside, to experience that, this body is not capable for that. The existing body. You got to have a change in the body. You got to have a change in the body, right? And when that is destroyed, new vasanas, what you have left behind, still in your subtle body, you cannot enjoy that vasanas through this body, what you have got now. So you need a change of the body. That's the principle behind it. Sometimes you see some people, and they're spiritually very vibrant, right? Spiritually they have done a lot of good things in this world. And then they die in some accident or something. You may have seen that. Sometimes it happens to people. That they have done a lot of good things in this world, worked very much into spiritual life and guided by someone, whoever it is. And then suddenly something happens and they die and go. And you start wondering, why did that happen to them? Because the vasanas that they have brought with us to be in this life, to be used, is run out. And therefore, the body has to change for the other vasanas to work through. He needs a different body, and therefore, Prakriti has put an end to his life in this world. Prakriti has put an end to his life in this world, right? So, because the body is not capable of meeting the requirements of the new vasanas, the body has to go, right? And after a certain period, 50, 100 or years old, or even 120, jirnani vihaya means that the vasanas what you have acquired in this life, it cannot be met with, or it cannot fructify in this body. This body is not capable of handling those vasanas. That means you do need another body at that time, right? So, decision of next body is made by the vasana in the subtle body. That's what is making all the decisions. All the decisions, right? So, when Acharya Swamiji was in Uttarakashi, Vedavyasa Maharshi came in the form of an old Brahmana there to see him, right? Mutually they are discussing this, days and days about this topic, right? And Jivas Maranandra Gadi. Jivas travel after death, right? So, these topics are also discussed in the Brahma Sutra. Vedavyasa Maharshi has discussed in the Brahma Sutra, right? So, what is spoken in the Brahma Sutra? It says that jiva at the time of death, yeah, it takes all the vasanas from the subtle body along with it and drags it along and goes into the next body, or does it go on its own, jiva? This was the question. Vedavyasa is questioning Acharya about this. But Vedavyasa has commented on that in the Brahma Sutram. So, Vedavyasa told Shankaracharya that you have written a commentary on my Brahma Sutram, haven't you? He said, so I just came to ask, I'm not trying to find out what your understanding is about it. Vedavyasa is asking him, right? So, so he asked this question, does the jiva leaves this body and while moving into the next body, does it take the whole sushma shariram with the vasanas, or jiva goes on its own into the next body, right? Ajaya Swami said that it takes everything with it, right? And he mentioned that jiva goes to, you remember I mentioned this, Ajaya Swami is Shiva himself and Vedavyasa is Vishnu himself. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Bhadarayanam. Padmavada said, what am I supposed to comment on their discussions? He said, Sutra Bhashakadav Vande Bhagavanda Punapuna. Famous words. So they, when they discussing, imagine, this is like Krishna and Shiva discussing, similar to that. They were talking about this. Yeah. So jiva takes the subtle body with all its vasana. With all its vasana. And along with that, Udana Vayu also. Pranan has five different functions, isn't it? You know that. Pranan, Apanan, Samanan, Udanan, Vyanan. They have different functions in the body. Out of this, Udana Vayu is the one which takes the soul out of this body. The jiva. Which pulls the jiva out of this body is Udana Vayu. It's called Udana Vayu, right? So Udana Vayu takes all these things together. And in that particular life, whatever vasana you have collected maximum. Every karma has its own vasana. But some karma we may have got very attached to it and did it very intensely and must have created a very strong vasana inside. Yeah, that vasana will come on the top of the list at the time of death. Time of death, it will come on the top of the list. Yeah? And accordingly, your next life. So throughout life, whatever karma you have done, you see, Shastram is not interested, whether you are a doctor or engineer or other things. Shastram is telling us this is the reality, what will happen. While cultivating vasanas, why one should be careful about. So he's saying here, with that, it will come in the top and accordingly the next life. So, based on that vasana, which is on the top of the list, right, there is a power operating inside us, that vasana power, and that power, which is responsible for your next body, it will create a sankalpa shariram. It builds up an imaginative body within you before you go. All this is happening at the time of death. Sankalpa Shariram is created inside by that power which is controlled by that vasana. Vasana, and there is a power which operates through that, vasanas operate through. And that power, which is responsible for the in charge for your next birth, it will automatically create that Sankalpa body, a Sankalpam inside him, for the next life, right? And that it is through that sankalpam that you are developing your next body. Through that sankalpam, right? And then you will enter into that body. This is why we are all different looking. It is our sankalpam has created different types of bodies. Somebody wanted a sankalpam, a female body, they'll get a female body. Somebody wanted a male body, they'll get a male body. And in the male body also, our sankalpam was such that we wanted to have a particular birth in a particular place. All these vasanas we must have created inside. Therefore you got it, what you wanted. So it's a very intricate thing. But at the same time, When he accepts this, he will enter into that new body. It creates a sankalpam, and then he enters into that body, and he accepts a new body. So that is a dehi. Dehi does that. It's a process, right? And that is all organized by Prakriti. Prakriti organizes all that. But gross body can do whatever it wants. You can tear off your clothes, right? But you cannot do anything about the Antaryami inside, right? So, when you are living in some place, sometimes it happens, in your neighbor, there's always, they're quarreling, arguing each other, fighting each other. Sometimes you get neighbors like that, isn't it? Some places, I'm saying. If you observe, sometimes it happens, a new neighbor comes, and you observe them, how they conduct their life. Some neighbors are very quiet, and some neighbors, they'll be fighting each other in the family itself. Arguments and quarreling and fighting. Sometimes you will see, we had a neighbor like that who had two members of the family. They were supporting two different football clubs. Constantly arguing about it and fighting each other. And then they'll go and get drunk and come back and again fight based on what happened in the football match, right? So you start thinking they're discussing something very serious and arguing about it. Only when you get to know them, you start realizing they were fighting on the football match. Very seriously they were fighting each other. Yeah. So in the same way, one house there was fighting happening like this. So the neighbor came and asked him, "We heard somebody fighting like this, hell like yesterday in your house." He said, the man said that I got angry with my wife, he said. Right. Then what happened? He said she took my shirt and threw it outside. Right. So for that, so much fighting about that. He asked about that, right? No, I was also there inside that shirt, he says. That's how he puts it. He says, instead of saying that I was thrown out of the house, he's saying to him that my wife got angry with me and threw my shirt outside. So he says, for throwing the shirt outside, you got so angry. No, I was also inside the shirt, he said. You know what that means, isn't it? Right. So similarly, this shirt is this body, right? And that is different, and the person inside the shirt is different, right? And any moment you can change the shirt. Right? Jirnai, that's what he's saying here. So once you have removed the shirt, you are separate, body is separate, right? And when you remove this gross body, it is not affecting you in any way. Gross body is not affecting you in any way, right? Yatha karmam, yatha shrutam, Upanishad, right? So from one body, when you go into the next body, and at the end of its own karmam, right, accordingly that transfer happens. Yatha karmam, yatha shrutam. Yatha karmam, yatha shrutam. The same thing starts in the discussion between Nachiketas and Yama in Kathopanishad, right? Yaman says to Nachiketas, Nachiketas asks this question, what will happen after death? He wanted to know. Who? Nachiketas, right? Yama tried to avoid him, not to answer that, right? He kept telling him, you can ask me anything else, I'll tell you, but not this. But Nachiketas won't leave him. If you read Kathopanishad, you will see this, right? He kept pushing him again and again and again, right? Ultimately, Yama says to him that Jiva, when it leaves one body and goes into the next body, according to its karmam, and according to that, its movement begins, right? Whatever knowledge he has acquired now, and whatever karmam he has done here, the after effect of all the karmam, what he has done, is inside him in the form of impressions, which is vasana, right? And accordingly, he moves into the next body. Yama said to Nachiketas, right? So, and that is what Krishna is saying here. Navani Grihnadi Naroparani. See that? Second line. Navani Grihnadi Naroparani. tatha sharirani vihaya jirna. So, this same thing, this what Krishna is saying here. There is a conversation between, in Bhagavatam also you will find, Kamsa and Vasudev talking about it. And similarly, the same discussion in the Puranjanovakyanam also, it comes. Two, three locations, it is spoken, the same thing, right? So, Trina Jaluga Nyayam, it's called. What that means is, there is a worm which sits on the leaf of the tree, plant, leaf of a particular plant. And it's called a caterpillar. So how does caterpillar move? It will move in such a way that it will move on to the next leaf. Till it gets into the next leaf, grip on the next leaf, it won't leave the old leaf. It will move like that. Once it has got full grip on the new leaf, it will leave the old leaf in that way. Right? Similarly, before death happens, through our sankalpam, we have already built our new body while living in this body, before we go into the next body. More or less very close to the death, this is the process what is happening inside us, preparing our next body. All the vasanas will come and you won't have any more time to settle all the accounts here. You are preparing your new account to start with. Yeah? So at that time, the jiva more or less has decided by the time he leaves this body what is going to happen in the next body, right? So at that moment, that sankalpam is so strong and he won't be able to identify with this body anymore, the jiva. Now jiva is identifying with this body. Is it not? So when this transfer happens to the next body, this identification with this body is quietly loosening up. And the identification with the next body is getting strengthened. And this is how that transfer happens from this body to the next body, right? So through sankalpam, it leaves the body, and through sankalpam, it gets the next body. The power of sankalpam, that's what Krishna is talking about, right? And he will enter into the Navani Girhnadi Naroparani, right? He will enter into the womb according to the sankalpam. Everything will be arranged in such a way by the power that you will get into the next womb, whatever womb it is, right? And then you can leave this body, whatever you want to do with it, you can do that. Nobody is going to say, the connection is over. The moment the sankalpam has gone with this body, the body connection with the body is over. That's why always they talk about this identification all the time. Identification, right? You can cut it, burn it, whatever you like, right? But you cannot do anything about Atma. So Rupam, you cannot do anything, right? And that is what Krishna is going to say in the next two verses. He's going to talk about that. 9am chindandi shastrani, 9am dahati pavaka, na chainam kledayandhyapo na shoshayati marutam. Achadyoyam, achedyoyam adahyoyam, akledyo shoshyamevacha, nitya sarvagadastanu, achaloyam sanatana. So, having talked about this transfer from this body to another body, Krishna saying that this gross body is finished with this. But, your swarupam, actual swarupam. Now, jiva is stuck in the subtle body. Jiva is stuck in the subtle body. So, even though all this transfer is happening, your swarupam is not affected. Even at that time, swarupam is always independent. That's the point. Krishna is stressing that. Swarupam, which is our same as Andaryami swarupam, it's always independent. It is never touched by anything. It remains like that. Yeah. So, that is the point. So, Krishna is asking Arjuna this question, right? He mentioned earlier that once you have realized your identity, self, right? Then there is no anyone killing anyone or anyone getting killed by someone. All these things don't exist anymore in Swarupam. In Swarupam it doesn't exist, right? And then if you realize it, then there is no kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam either. Suppose you have realized the self, then kartrutva bhoktrutva has gone. Right? Similarly, ragadvesham also. These four things mainly will leave us. So they are the four main things. Ragadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutva. Right? The reason for all these four, what is the cause behind that? Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the one which is keeping it going. These four things, right? Ahangaram tells us that I am doing it, I am enjoying it, right? And an extension of this I am doing, I am enjoying is this ragadvesham. It's an extension of that, right? Attachment and aversion. Yeah. So, once you realize the self, Almatatvam, once you realize that, or self-realization happened, then even if self-realization hasn't happened, leave that behind. Because self-realization, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashyad yadadi siddhaye, perfection. Yadadam abhisiddhanam kashyinmam veti tattvada. That's a very extraordinary situation, that self-realization, right? So, but that is only for very few people, rare. For few people that happens, right? Among thousands, Krishna says, this tattvam, they will realize it, just like sunrise. It's a change will happen in them. They may not have completely self-realized, right? So, even though you have not fully realized the truth, there is a gap there also. Like, suppose you have accepted what Krishna has spoken, all these things, and through reflection and all that, you have made it as your own, these realizations, right? You made it on your own. But you have not done enough sadhana to realize the self. Enough sadhana. But spiritually you have grown very well. You come to it. That's why in that verse you see how Krishna puts it. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye yadadam abhisiddhanam kaschinmam veti tattvada. There are two stages there. First you become siddhaye. Then one who has become siddhaye, one get to know in tattvada, means realized state. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye, that's one stage. That means you have mastered the science properly, assimilated it very well, and you are also experiencing it to some extent, but due to lack of chitta shuddhi, means lack of sadhana, lack of chitta shuddhi and all, total realization hasn't happened. That means you are still in the body, now and then your ahangaram will come out. Ragadvesham has not gone completely from inside. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam also. But you have made a lot of progress. There is a stage like that in between. Yeah. So you got that far, but you have not realized the self completely. The self-realization hasn't happened. Right? So Krishna is saying here, in that stage, when you have not perfected and realized the truth, but you are halfway. You are making progress. Right? So, in such a person, even though he has not realized the truth, for his benefit, such a person who is in that stage, for his chitta shuddhi, for that purpose Krishna is saying, yogina karma kurvandi. In another place you will see this mentioned. Yogi does karmam for the sake of chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi, right? What does chitta shuddhi mean? Chitta shuddhi means that you have decided that your goal of life is self-realization. Yeah? And after making that decision, making your whole life a sacrifice, yajnam. And that means from then on, once you have made that decision, that self-realization is the goal, and after that, you're changing your whole lifestyle with that goal in mind. Doing that, right? Whole life like that. So, in order that the life has to become a yajnam, sacrifice like that, yeah, you have to have this goal first, right? Otherwise, whatever you may do, your life won't become a yajnam. Slowly Krishna is bringing yajnam into life, into our understanding. Yeah? Suppose you want to go to Kashi, Benares or somewhere, and even though you don't know, may not know the route, how to get there, right? Once you are left home, you will ask somebody, somewhere or the other, you manage to find the route to Kashi, right? For a person, he doesn't know where he wants to go. For such a person, even if you give him an aeroplane, he will be wandering around, not because he doesn't have any destination. So destination is very important in spiritual life, what the destination should be, right? So, so a person who doesn't have a knowledge of destination clearly inside, even if you have given him all facilities, he'll be wandering around everywhere, not knowing the destination, right? So, so, karmakandam in the Vedam, yeah? All your sadhana anushtanam, studying the shastram, all the dhyanam, meditation, everything, all these things we do in life, the purpose of that is to create this destination clearly inside. To plant inside us that this is the goal. All of us are wandering in spiritual life because of lack of this destination only. We also are not sure where we want to go, to Vaikuntham or to Kailasam or to Golokam or somewhere else. Most of the people think that, oh, there are so many options anyway. So like this. So that's because that destination is not clear, where you want to go. This is the reason in the Bhagavatam, as soon as the Shiva Brahmarshi started speaking, he told very clearly Sadhyamukti and Kramamukti. And then left it to Parikshit to decide what you want. Kramamukti you want or Sadhyamukti you want? Yeah. And he talked about destination first, before talking about the route, how to go there. So, and so this is very important thing. This Lakshya Bodham, it is called in the Shastram. Lakshya Bodham means very clear idea in the mind or in my thoughts that this is what I want in this life. Able to have that decision, very clear cut decision inside, right? What is the real life goal? Ultimately, it is a self-realization, right? So this is what triggered that second chapter of the first canto. You remember? Yeah? Sri Shukha Suda Goswami and the Shaunika Rishi and other people, a discussion happened. They were performing that satram in Naimisharanyam. Sahasra Samamasada, you say. Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada. 1,000 years lasting satram they were doing. Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada. The last line in the first chapter. So they were doing this satram. No clear idea what they were doing for, where they are going. Somebody was saying they want to go to heaven to perform sacrifices. So at that time, Shaunaka Rishi asked some intelligent question to what is the idea of all these things. And that's when Suda Goswami, in a very beautiful verse, spoke. Prabhupada gave very detailed commentaries on those verses. You know that. Yeah. Shurnodam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravanagirtanam Kridyandasohya Badrani Vidhanodisul Sadam Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavadyuttama Shloge Bhaktir Bhavadi Naishtagi. Those verses, few verses like that. Yeah. So there he mentions that Kamasi Indriya Preeti Labho Jiveda Yavada Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa Nartvaya Shaha Karmabhi. In that one verse, Suda Goswami said that the goal of life is not artham kamam, kamasi indriya preeti. What is the profit? Labho jivete yavada. Jivasya, the goal is tattva jijnyasa, tattva jijnyasa. Na artham esheha karmabhi. Na artham esheha karmabhi. He said like that, right? So, the idea of all these things, which one? yajnam, yagam, homam. Similarly, sadhana. Similarly, shastra pathanam, studying the shastram. And dhyanam. The goal of all this thing is to get this tattva-jijnyasa to come in a person. Tattva-jijnyasa means seriousness about the goal. Seriousness about the goal, right? Otherwise, with this karmam and all, there is not much of a benefit. Karmagandam, right? So, karmagandam also the goal is this. Ultimate goal of karmagandam is also tattva-jijnyasa, right? And that means, if tattva-jijnyasa has come in a person, that is the proof that he has got chitta-shuddhi. Do you understand that? That's a very important point to note. If I am not feeling tattva-jijnyasa, if I don't have that fire in me to realize the truth, it means my chitta-shuddhi hasn't happened. They are connected to each other. If tattva-jijnyasa comes in a person strongly, that indicates that the person has chitta-shuddhi. His chittam is shuddham. Only when chittam is shuddham, tattva-jijnyasa will come. Otherwise, it won't come. It will be like us now, the way we are, half this way, half that way. Sometimes we are spiritual, very spiritual. Sometimes we are very materialistic. Like this, we are floating in between these two. Krishna's point, and Sudha Goswami said that to Shaunak Rishi, the reason for that is, this tattva jityasa has not come to you. And if tattva jityasa did come, then the proof of that, the result is that chitta shuddhi has happened. That is, they are connected to each other very strongly, right? So, chitta shuddhi means what? Tattva jityasa means what? A jiva will start asking himself that, what is the meaning of my life? What am I doing here in this world, right? Why am I living here? What's the benefit from this? And with this understanding, yagam, yajnam and all has to be performed. This is the principle behind karmagandam. Karmagandam is also an important part. So, karmagandam creates this tattva jijnyasa in a person, if one does that properly, right? So, and it is with this, Kathopanishad begins. With this topic, discussion. Kathopanishad begins with that, right? Gautama Maharshi, and he had a very, he was recognized by everyone, Gautama Maharshi. He was recognized by everyone. Very famous he was, right? And not only that, he used to perform a lot of charity in the life. Oh, Gautama Maharshi. Used to perform a lot of charity as well, right? And his another name is Vajashravasa. In Kathopanishad you will see that name. So, we'll start this topic after the break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamahadava agni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamrita swadanam sarvabda subanambaram vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamagari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishita Vakriba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishamiha Jani Nanuragaha Trinaravi Shunijena Taroravi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kabidamba Jagadisha Kamai Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavadal Bhaktira Haidugitvai Ainanda Danuja Kinkaram Patidamam Shame Bhavambudo Krabayato Pada Panga Justida Duli Sadasham Vijindaya Nayanam Galada Shudaria Vadanam Gadadirudhaya Gira Pulagar Nijanam Gadava Bhutavanama Grihani Bhavishadi Yugaidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishaidam Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahename Ashlishyava Padaradam Vinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyoduva Yatha tatha vavitatha tulembado mal prananatha sunayavana parya sarvatra govinda nama sangeertanam govinda govinda.
Kathopanishad comes in the Yajurvedam. Krishna Yajurvedam. Yajurvedam has got two branches, Krishna Yajurvedam, Shukla Yajurvedam. Out of the Krishna Yajurvedam comes Kathashaga, it's called Kathopanishad, comes from that. Yamadharma Raja is meeting at Nachiketas, the Brahmana boy, Brahmachari, and he found in Nachiketas this what we are talking about, Tattva Jnyasa. He found that in him. All the samskaram or spiritual culture required for that was complete in Nachiketas. And that is why the initial part of this Kathopanishad is all about projecting to us how a person will be if he has become serious in spiritual life. One who has got destination very clear. You know the story well that Nachiketas goes there and he was wanted to find out what happens to life after death. Yamadharma Raja deliberately won't give the answer and tried to tell him, you can ask me anything else, and offered him all kinds of opulences in life, material happiness and everything, different things. But Nachiketas says, no, I just want to know this. This is what I'm looking for, he said. So, in this Upanishad also, Kathopanishad also, Vaidika Karmam is also discussed a lot. But to prove to us that this Karmagandam also is very much centered around temporary happiness in this world or happiness in the heavenly planets. It's not taking anything more than that, right? And to convince us that itself is not the ultimate goal of life. Yeah. How to become free from material existence. Material existence creates this brandi inside. Brandi means it creates this confusion in us. What is this life all about? We are all here for 70, 80, 90 years probably, and then we are gone. And during this time also, we don't know why we are here. Even while we are here for 70 years or 80 years, we just don't know why we have come here and what we are supposed to do here. Whatever society does, we also do the same thing. We go along with the, what do they say, that, go along with the crowd, isn't it? Yeah. So that's what we are basically doing here. We are just going along with the crowd. What others are doing, we are also doing the same thing. So, to become free from this brandi they call it, and these experiences of this world, to come to an end to all these things and how to become free from that and realize the truth, the jiva has to make that decision first. That's a big decision in life, to come to that state of I don't want anything from here, from this world anymore. He's seen enough of it. There's nothing here worthwhile wasting time for. To come to all this conclusion, it takes a lot of time, a lot of experiences in life, a lot of problems in life, and vairagyam has to come first, and then only tattva jnanam will start working in him. Jnana vairagyam together they go. So for that requires brahma vidya. So Nachiketas is being told by Yamadharma Raja that brahma vidya is necessary for this purpose. A person who has come to that stage, when he is ready for it, for who have come to this conclusion at this as the goal of life, one who has come to that person, only for him Brahma Vidya will be beneficial. Not for everybody. For everyone Brahma Vidya won't be useful. A person who has come to this decision, for him Brahma Vidya is useful. That's the first thing to know. That's why Kathopanishad is saying like this. This all, and this is the background of that. Gautama Rishi, his son is this Nachiketas, and Gautama was a good performing yagam very much, right? And the purpose of this yagam is what they call it a sarvasva dhanam. In that yagam, you give everything what you have in charity to others. Yeah. And the rule is like that. Everything what you have got, you should give in charity, not possess anything anymore, right? So, in them days, mainly the charity was cows. Cows were given in charity, hundreds and thousands of cows. You see that in the Bhagavatam also. Nanda Maharaj, when Krishna was born, that time he gave thousands and thousands of cows in charity because cows were considered to be the wealth. Now we have got credit card and the bank notes and all, we think it is the wealth. So the nature of wealth changes all the time in this world. Sometimes land is considered to be wealth, isn't it? Sometimes gold is considered to be wealth. People are always looking for where should I invest it, in the land or in the gold. Nobody is saying about cows anymore. But these are the important ones now. So the nature, for example, you can see in the third canto, when Varahamurti appeared, that time land was very much the important one. Which planet to rule and things like that. Yeah. So the nature of wealth changes all the time. Gold, land, and today you can say it is like the investments in the stock market. Yeah, all those things. Yeah. So, along with the cow, when it's given in charity, you give coconut and a certain amount of coins also, gold coins, along with that. So, it has changed over years, this thing has changed. Now what they do, they make a cow with the gold, a form of the cow with the gold, right? And that is given in charity. Instead of giving thousands of cows in charity, they'll give a cow in the form of gold in the form of a cow. They'll make it a small one and give that in charity, right? And so, what happened was, Nachiketa was observing his father giving the cows, and the cows he were giving was all those cows who had no milk. You could not get milk from them, that they have become so old, there's no milk coming from them. All of them were very sick cows. So Nachiketa didn't like it. He's giving charity, but giving all these kind of cows, which are of no use to anyone. Just somebody has to look after them, that's all, at the end, right? It cannot eat the grass anymore because there is no teeth left in the cow's mouth, right? And there is no milk either, and they won't give any more calves either. They won't produce any more calves, and they cannot eat the grass, and they won't give any milk. And such cows, his father was giving in charity. So he got upset about it. He's a young person, isn't it? Nachiketa was very ripe in spiritual life, right? So he goes to his father and asking him, whom are you going to give me in charity then? He said, I'm also so useless as far as you are concerned. So he asked him that, why are you doing this yagam? What purpose is that? So he said that to go into the higher planets. That was his answer, right? One person, when he got sick, you know, in them days, for Bhadrakali, you give human life as a sacrifice. It's there in the fifth canto. Remember? Jadavarada and Bhadrakali story, right? So today if you say to people, you give people human sacrifice, they will think something strange about it. But that is there in the Bhadrakali Tantram, it is there, right? So, one person when he got sick, he made an offering to Bhadrakali saying like this, if I get cured from my disease, the only cow what I have, I will give it in sacrifice to Kali, right? When he woke up next morning, his disease, he was cured completely cured, right? So then he realized that without thinking enough, I made this offering to Bhadrakali, right? So after thinking about it, he doesn't want to give it. All the offering was made before, but then he didn't want to give it, right? So he thought about that and he found out a technique how to get out of it, right? This Sanatana Dharma, right at this moment if you look at it, is full of techniques now. People have come out with different types of techniques, right? One person, what did he do? You know what he has done, how to get out of this? He took a cow and a cat with him and went to the market, right? And then he said that the cow costs 1 rupee. Whoever wants it, for 1 rupee, this cow is available, he said. So many people came to buy that. But then he said, whoever is buying the cow, they should buy the cat as well. That's conditions. Subject to that, we'll sell it for 1 rupee. So he asked him, what's the cost of the cat then? Cat costs 7,000 rupees, he said. So that's a marketing technique, right? So he made the offer to Bhadrakali that I'll give the cow in sacrifice, right? So ultimately one person gave him 7,000 rupees and took the cat and took the cow also, paying 1 rupee, right? Then he took that cow from him, and then our man who brought it, he took it back, saying that, I give you back that 1 rupee for the cow, because I made an offering like this to Bhadrakali. And he took that cow back to the temple, Bhadrakali temple, and he made the committee, he completed his commitment, what he did there, right? So what it is saying to us is that he couldn't sell it for 1 rupee. To sell the cow, he used the cat as a media, and he got the money what he wanted, because he was very unhappy to give the cow freely to Bhadrakali. He said he made the offering also at the same time. So what he did was he took the cat, and with that he made this transaction in such a way that he is not a loser. He got the 7,000 rupees for the cow. So so basically this type of mind is always there in people while dealing in spiritual commitments, right? Ramatirtha used to say this. He said, try to put dust on God's eyes, you yourself will be blinded, he said. If you try to do such a thing, you yourself will be blinded, right? So, for whose purpose are you doing all these things? In order that others should recognize you as a religious person, right? So, one who is seeing everything in the creation, which is Prakriti, and he is the one who controls the Prakriti. The eye of eye, what they say in the Upanishad, isn't it? Eye of the eye. The eye is the Prakriti seeing this, and this Prakriti is guided by the Ishvara behind it, Bhagavad Gita. So the eye of the eye is Ishvara. So if you try to put dust on his eyes, you will be blinded. So, who is that Antaryami? It is that same truth is inside us as Antaryami. That same absolute truth, right? And so when you are cheating someone in any way, in spiritual matters also, actually you are cheating your own Antaryami, who is inside us, right? So, this Vajashravasa, Gautama, performed the yagam, and the impression among the public was he is giving everything, giving up everything, right? But the way he is giving it is, all the useless ones he is disposing it through the yagam, right? So in that yagam, the son, different people have different responsibility in the yagam. And this Vajashravasa son, Najiketasa, he is there, Kumaram Santam. He is boy, he's not even a young man, he's a boy actually, right? So there they have to give this dakshina to the priests, right? So Najiketas is observing what father is doing, how he is giving dakshina, how much he is giving dakshina and all that. Najiketas wants to understand this whole thing, right? So when he saw what Vajashravasa was doing, his father was doing, Najiketas has understood about yagam from different places. He has understood the purpose of yagam. He's a child, but still he knew about it very well, a lot of things, right? Suddenly what happened was, what his father was doing, when he saw that, for a moment in his mind, he felt something is not right, what the father was doing, right? And in his mind, a Shraddha woke up, right? Here he will say that Shraddha, that word, means Astikya Buddhi Aviveshaha. So the child is asking, father, why are we doing all these things? For what? Right? And who are you going to give me in charity to? So when we don't have any karma, when we do, if the goal is not very clear, when you do this karma, yagam particularly, yeah, there has to have a clear goal in that. When it's not there, just for the sake of name and fame, and you do sacrifices like the way Gautama was doing, then that will not help you at all in spiritually, right? So what Gautama was doing was, he was trying to give also, he was getting, trying to, like car boot sale, is bringing out everything what you don't want, and you want to sell and make some money. In the similar way, he is dealing with the yagam. So, so Najiketas asked this question, is not the rule that everything should be given? Sarvasya Danam, it's called, right? So, I should also be given then. I am also your property. Whom are you going to give me to? Whom will you donate me to? In other words, right? So he asked this question three times to father. Father was not interested in talking to him about it. Again and again when he asked this, he got angry. Who? Vajashravasa. Gautama got angry and he said, I'm going to give you to the death personified. I said, Mrityu. I'll give it to him, he said. And Najiketas heard that. But by the way, Vajashravasa has spoken, you can see, understand that he was not serious about it. He just wanted to get rid of him from there, right? But he, child, this Najiketas, in him, he started thinking, what does that mean, going, giving to the death means, right? So whatever he has spoken, it has come true, and Najiketas goes to Yamalokam straight away from there, and he waited at the doorstep of Yamadharmaraja, 3 days, right? So Yamadharmaraja has gone away somewhere. He wasn't there. He has gone to bring some jiva somewhere to be brought back for the judgment to make about him, right? Because some jivas, when he calls them, they won't go. They will somehow manage to hold back here. Some jivas do that, apparently, right? Then in such cases, Yama has to come. Yeah? Yama has to come. And when Yama comes, there is a verse about that. What happens? How Yama comes. at that moment, right?
Yama comes on the buffalo, that's his vehicle. Adibhishana Kadubhashanam. Frightening it is when Yama comes. And the way he speaks at the time of death. So in that prayer, Acharya Swami says about that. Yama's coming to take you back, right? Yama's agents are there, three agents. He's got three people, he sends them. And one who knows all your history of the karma, what you have done with the body, with the mind, and with the words. Three ways we do karma, right? So, because Yama was not there, Nachiketa had to wait. He had to wait for 3 days there. And Yama's wife told him that you should take something to eat. He said, no. I come to see Yama. After seeing Yama only, I will take food. So, in them days, especially in the this Yama Dharma Raja and all, when you go and visit him, they take very seriously these things. If you are not accepted any food, then they will take it very seriously, right? So, Yama came back, and the wife told him that a brahmachari had come to see you, and for 3 days he has not eaten anything. And Yama got very upset about that, right? So, a guest comes in the house, he comes as fire, Agni. Atithi is treated as Agni, right? So, if you have not given anything to the guest, it means that all your pious activities, its results will be burned. This is the rule, according to Shastram, it is like that, right? Vaishwanara pravishaha atithi brahmano. So, to make this more clearer, in the olden days, Brahmanas will lend money, right? And small cash, you know, cash was the main transaction, they will, gold or cash, something, gold coins, things like that. They'll lend money, because they don't work, little money they will lend it to others, right? And if they don't get it back, you lend it, there is sometimes, in them days everything was trust, based on trust, right? Sometimes people don't keep their words and they won't pay, give it back. So you know what the Brahmana will do? Brahmana will go to their house and sit there and fast. That's the way. He'll go there, sit in his house and fast there, right? And those people who have borrowed the money, who have not given back, they'll be very frightened. The Brahmana is fasting. And therefore, they had strong faith that all the pious activities, what they have done, it results will all be wiped out for not paying back the money to the person from whom you have borrowed. Yeah? You see today what happens? You cheat the one whole government in a country, and then you flee with millions and millions of dollars and go and live in another country, and when you want to get them extradited, they don't go back. This is how degraded things are now. Look at their faith in the Shastram. That's how they were. Suppose you borrowed money from someone and you didn't pay back. If he comes and sits at your house, it means that all your generation after generation will be destroyed by this one action. So therefore, they will become very serious. And if they couldn't give it back by some reason, they'll make sure and give the guarantee to him at any cost they will return it in a particular time or something like that. So that they will not stay home and fast in their house. Yeah? Brahmanas used to do that. This system existed. Right? So here, this brahmachari had come and 3 days he has not taken any food. Right? And Yama came home and washed his hands and legs, and he went up to the brahmachari and told him that, what do you want from me? What shall I give it to you? He said, and you can ask me three boons.
three boons. For 3 days he have fasted for 3 boons. And one, so Nachiketa is asking him 3 boons, right? First of all, about the Agnividya. About this Agnividya, the sacrifices. He wanted to know about that. One boon he wanted. Second one, he said, when I go back, my father should accept me without any irritation, right? Then, who is death? Who is death, right? What is his surupam? Death. How does death comes, right? You have to show that to me, what mrityu is, death means, right? So you will see in the Kathopanishad that mentions there how that conversation between Yama and Nachiketas, where he is saying this, Yeyam prete vichikilsa manushye astityege nayam astiti chayike edad didya anishishtasvayaham varana mesham varastritiya. So, three things what he has asked. Who? Nachiketas. Nachiketas has asked, right? Nachiketas is asking, when we die, we exist after that in some form, right? Some people say like that. But some people say with the death, our personality also goes away. Nothing exists after that. I would like that clarity on that. What happens after death to anyone, right? And beyond this body, mind, intelligence and all that, is there someone else existing inside us? I would like to know that. So, what happens after death? Our experience, we won't know what happens, what will happen, right? Apart from you, nobody else know those things. After we die, what is happening? You have that knowledge about that, what happens to a person. So these three things what he has asked here, and when he mentioned that, Yama is telling him, Nachiketas left his father because when he saw the cows what were giving in charity, when he saw that, he was not very happy about it, right? And he also heard that if you do such things, you will go to hell when you do such things, right? So this Agnividya, Agnividya is referring to these sacrifices, Agnividya. He has, and going back to heaven through this Agnividya, performing sacrifices. Nachiketas has got to know all these things from different rishis. He has spoken, and he has got some understanding of all these things, right? But as a good student, Nachiketas was very serious about everything. He was not an ordinary child. Even though father was behaving like this, Nachiketas himself, personally, was very enthusiastic, had total faith in the Shastram, and he wanted to find out everything himself, right? So, this conversation between Nachiketas and his father, and Nachiketas and Yama, is to indicate to us how serious one will be when there is Tattva Jijnyasa inside. This Nachiketas is a representation of that. One who has got strong Tattva Jijnyasa. Tattva Jijnyasa comes means that he will be like fire, want to know the truth. No interest in this world, no attraction to anything here. He just wants to see what happens after death. Very serious about that, yeah? So, he wanted to know what happens after death and wanted to understand, is there something existing after death? Our existence, Atma's existence, right? You may think that, is there not all these questions very irrelevant for an age of that child, right? No, it is not. Why? Because Nachiketa is asking this question, that he's not asking about his own faith. What he's asking is that Atma, has it got a permanent existence or not? Or does everything is finished with the death? You know these people now, what we are talking about? These people who are atheists and who are yuktivadis or whatever they call. Yeah. They will argue very strongly, everything is finished with the death. Is it not? They'll stay like that. You know, Richard Dawkins and all these people. They believe strongly that everything is finished with the death. And it is very difficult to convince them that there is a soul. They don't accept the existence of the soul. They will say all the other scientific things, that from evolution this happened and evolution that happened and all that. They cannot accept that the existence, there is something inside, a chaitanyam existing inside, which doesn't die. And many people have big problems in accepting that. Many people have big problems in accepting. If you are able to accept it, that's Krishna's mercy. That's all I can say about that. A lot of people, very intelligent people, they are very good at science, technology and research and all that, but they have problem in accepting this. There is people like that. And they think, and they are the people who are stuck in intelligence. Because for them, intelligence and logic should be there all the time in everything. In life, they are thinking that everything must be logical, everything should work on intelligence. Nachiketas has transcended that. That was Nachiketas' success. Even though he was young, he has managed to get over that barrier. It's a barrier actually. You are not able to make progress from there further. And you are thinking that that's the end of life. After that, we don't know. It doesn't matter. Some people say everything is over with that. Nothing exists after that. So, but Nachiketas had that question to ask, which showed that Nachiketas still has that power of inquiry to that extent, right? So, he had no doubt about the existence of the Atma, but his question was, he wanted to know how that transfer happens after death, right? So, that is why that verse, this 20th verse, Yoyam Prede Vijigilsa Manushe, Asti Tyege Nayam Asti Di Chayge, Edad Vidya Anishishta Swayaham, Varana Mesha Varasmrudiya. This verse is important because through this verse you can understand the personality of Nachiketas, what kind of person he is. Yeah? So, when this verse was spoken, obviously in their way, the Rishis have said this, Yamadharma Raja was very impressed by that question of Nachiketas, and he knew that only someone who has developed sufficient vairagyam inside and matured could ask such a question about Brahmavidya. Everybody won't ask such a question, would it? Ordinary people will ask. We ask questions, you know how we ask questions. We ask, want to understand the technology behind it. Our mind works in a different way. Nachiketa's question was much more grounded on Atma. He's saying that what is happening to Atma from that moment, right? So when the way Nachiketa asked that question, Yamadharma Raja understood that he is a very serious person about spiritual life, and still, before making sure that he is qualified for Brahmavidya, he wanted to confirm that, to checking it with him, to see if he had developed sufficient vairagya. Otherwise, they won't give the upadesham. They won't give upadesham to anyone and everyone. Because if you give upadesham to anyone and everyone, it will be abused. They will misuse it. That is why vairagyam is an absolute requirement in spiritual life. If the vairagyam has not happened, We'll have to wait till the Vairagyam comes. Vairagyam comes from suffering in this world, and Krishna gives you a different opportunity to learn what Vairagyam is, importance of Vairagyam, right? Vairagyam hasn't come, attachment is there, ragam, dvesham and all, then that person is not ready for spiritual life. You're just passing time, that's all. Nothing happens with that. So here, seeing these questions from Nachiketas, Yamadharmaraja understood that this person is serious about it, and he is matured enough, has enough Vairagyam in him, and therefore, to test his Vairagyam, he has offered him so many opulences to Nachiketas. And Nachiketas refused everything, one after the other, right? So, that story is there. And so, in this way, in the world also, all of us, this question will come, what happens after death? What happens after death? Some people say there is something after death happens, right? Some people say nothing happens after death, right? And what is actually happening after death? And what is the secret of that? I want to know that technique, vidya, of that. And give me instructions on that. So Nachiketas was very particular to know what happens after death. And that is called Tattva Jijnasa. And that thought won't come very easily in us. Our Tattva Jijnasa is like this. If everything goes like nicely in the family life and everything, we are also, we'll get some information about what happens after death. And then we will, our own mind, we will judge it. Because we haven't developed that stage yet of Tattva Jijnasa, what he's talking about. But Nachiketa's case, this is the first thing he noticed, right? So, what happens to a jiva when it leaves the body, right? Does he exist or not? So Yama says to him, you are talking about a subject which I don't even talk to the demigods, he said. Even when the devas comes to me, and this is an area where even they are hesitant to step into it, into this topic. Even the devadas, they don't go step into that, right? So Nachiketas, he says to Nachiketas, don't ask me this question, because Brahmavidya is extremely subtle, he said. Ati sushma, he said, right? Because even the devas don't ask this, because even they have not understood it properly. Therefore, he says like that, yeah? And that is why he made all this offering to him. He made this offering to him that ye ye kamaha durlabha martyaloge sarvan kaman chandada prathayaswa ima ramaha saradaha saturya nahi drisha lambhaniya manushyai Abhirmal Prathavi Parijarayaswa Najigedo Maranam Manu Prakshi. He says, yeah, I'll give you beautiful girls and then lot of chariots and horses and a beautiful palaces and lot of wealth. You can take all of that. Yamadharma says to Nachiketas. Nachiketas says to him, I don't want all of that, he says. then Yama changes his technique. Yama says to him, how long do you want to live? I'll give you the lifespan accordingly, right? Thousands of years do you want to live? Nachiketa says, no, I don't want that. And he says to Yama, what a stupid thing you're asking me. Suppose I've got a long lifespan, what will I do with it? He said. So, we can see ourselves. After we move away from the world, next generation comes. You are feeling unfit here. Is it not? The young generation, when they come, they take over. You have become misfit here. They are doing things in a different way. And you are not able to connect with them. What we call Gen Z. This is what it is. That's what it is he's talking about, right? So, if 60 years is making such a difference in our life, Imagine, suppose you have to live here 500 years, what will happen? You will be so outdated by that generation who is in control that they won't care for you. They won't be interested in talking to you because you don't understand them and they don't understand you. So it is necessary that we should leave the place when the next generation comes. Let them run the show. You come out of it. Because otherwise if you stay here, you will feel the misery while living with them. Right? So, suppose someone has got children, then grandchildren, and then great-grandchildren from that, what will you do? What will happen? Right? All of them will look at us at some time and start making fun of us, children and grandchildren, because they will think that you are not up to it, you are useless, you are not able to do the things like the way they are doing. They will be doing all sorts of things. You can see very easily that. You ask a young man now, what kind of job are you doing? He will tell you something, some job. You never heard about such a job before, existed. Now there is all sorts of jobs people are doing. And they were created over a period of time, that type of job, and which was didn't exist before. So from previous generation people, if you tell them that this is the kind of job I am doing, they keep asking, what does that mean? What are you doing actually? What is the type of job? So it's very difficult to convince that person about the type of job, right? So similarly, Krishna is saying here also, he says that if you don't leave the world by then, it will become a problem. It will become a problem. So here he's saying that there. That is what is spoken here. Ajiryadam amrudanam upetya jiryan martya kvadastha prajanan abhidhyayan varnarati pramodan adhidirge jivita koryameya. Right? So Yama says, don't ask me about this one thing, right? I can offer you anything else what you want. And normally people, ordinary people, if you give them a lot of sense enjoyment, sensual happiness, right, they will be satisfied. They will accept that. That's the best offer. They'll take it and go, right? So here, you will see here, what Nachiketa's answered was, Nachiketa is saying that, Shobhava martyasya yadanda gaidal sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha abhi sarvam jividam alpam eva alpadeva tavaiva vaha savadvastya gide. He said that a lot of facilities for music, dance and a palatial, nice palaces to live. Then he says, Nachiketa says to Yama, right? He addressed Yama as Andaga, one who ends our life, yeah? Andaga. So, that is another name for Yama, Andaga, right? Means that one who puts an end to our life here, right? And he said that, even if you have given me all these things, you will come one day, today or tomorrow, and you'll take away everything from me, right? So even if you have given me all these things, how long can I enjoy them? He said. Tomorrow, you will be taking me out of these things, and I'll have to face the death. So it's not going to stay forever. And that's one option thing. Another thing, I will get older, and even if you have given me all these material opulences, I won't be able to enjoy it because the body cannot do it anymore. Body does not enjoy anymore those things, right? So that jarayanti tejaha, and not only that, when you get older and older, the senses have no strength anymore to enjoy anything, right? Desire may be there to enjoy, but can't do it because the body is not cooperating, right? So whatever you may give it to me, he says, sarvam, abhi sarvam jeevitam alpam eva, he said, and tadeva vaha svarnati gide. So keep all these things to yourself, he said. So look at the way Nachiketa has answered. A young man, when he tried to bribe him, who? bribing in the sense that he wanted to test his resolve, how much vairagyam he has got. So this vairagyam is a big factor, and that is, when vairagyam is not there, Krishna won't bring any person in front of us who will give us spiritual understanding. It will always be like this, that vairagyam is a key factor. That is what decides when a guru should come to in front of a person, depending on the vairagyam level of vairagyam, right? So he won't leave it. He told him, you have to give me Brahma Vidya. I want to know that, he said, right? So, so everything what was offered was returned back to him, right? And he said that Mahalakshmi's nature is like this. If you go after Lakshmi, Lakshmi won't come with you. She will leave you one day and go, right? But if you go after Krishna, then Lakshmi will follow you. That is the principle behind it. If you go, simply if you take Lakshmi, if you want Lakshmi only, and if you worship Lakshmi, Lakshmi won't come. Lakshmi comes, but then Lakshmi will leave you. It won't stay with you. But if you go after Krishna, then Lakshmi will come and Lakshmi will follow you. Lakshmi will stay with you, right? So when he rejected everything, Yama embraced Nachiketas and spoke to him. He said, I would like to see more people like you asking questions like this. Yama congratulated Nachiketas at that moment, right? And ordinary people, he said, normally if I offer something, they will take it and they'll go. They're not bothered too much about it, right? Whatever you given, they'll say, other things I've just asked, that's all. And they are not particular about it. He says, most of the people in this world, Yama says, if I give them a chocolate, they'll take it and they'll go. That's how they are. People are in this world. Yeah. So they don't want to know Brahma Vidya and all that. They're just happy with that chocolate, what has been given. Therefore, he started talking. Yama Dharmaraja started talking to him about the journey of the jiva. The journey of the jiva. And Atma Swarupam, the knowledge of the soul, how to understand the soul. First he spoke to him on the bodily level. And then he spoke to him on the platform of the mind. And then he spoke to him on the platform of the self. Very much similar to the way Krishna is presenting. All this is a science, for the rishis have developed it perfectly as a science. And Krishna is just brought all this information together and used it practically in life with Arjuna and showed it how it works. That's all it is. And Uddhava also. So science was developed by the rishis. Krishna has used that science and utilized it and worked with Arjuna and with Uddhava and showed to us that it is practical, it does work, and this is the way it works. So that is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, nothing else. Practical application of the knowledge developed by the rishis through the Upanishads of this life travel of the soul after death and how that happens. So and to understand that self, Atma, it has to be spoken in different levels to get it clarity there. On the bodily level, in the platform of the mind, and in the platform of the self, right? So, first of all, he showed him the Atma present in the body, right? What is that? Sitting inside us, right? And he is seeing everything through these eyes. He is smelling everything through these nose. He is tasting everything through the tongue. He is hearing everything through the ear. Who is doing that? Antaryami is doing that. Atma is doing that, right? So, that is how you understand the presence of Atma in the body. First level of understanding, right? And Yamadharmaraja says, doing like this, all these things, and experiencing all that, it's me. Means he is referring to Jivatma here. As Jivatma, Antaryami is experiencing it. Antaryami is experiencing, but as Jivatma is experiencing that. Through all the senses, all sense gratification, Andaryami is enjoying it as Jivalpa through the senses. Through the senses. So then he says here that the that's right. Yena rupam rasam gandham shabdam sparshaischa maithunal edeneva vijanati kimitra parishyate edadvaitat. I'm just summarizing Kathopanishad in a very few minutes. So he's saying here edadvaitat Yamadharmaraja's answer. That is what he is on a bodily level. What is that? Yena rupam rasam gandham shabdam sparshaischa maithunal. The five senses, sense gratification, all of that edeneva vijanati. That's what he is. Who is doing that? That's him. Right? Then he says, little bit more subtle, he says, right? The question you have asked, I have answered you from the bodily level. Now he said, little bit more on a subtle level, about dream state. On a dream state, what is happening? Yasvapneshu jagarti, that is the answer. Esha supteshu jagarti, kamam kamam purusho nirmimanam, tadeva shukram tal brahmam, tadeva amrdam uchade, tasmin logaha, shri ta sarveta dunati adikashana, edadvaitad. This is from the mental level, from the platform of the mind, he's saying here, that when the body is resting, when the body is sleeping, right, one who is sitting inside and fulfilling all your desires which are in the form of vasanas, and they are getting fulfilled in the dream. And one who is doing that, who creates all the scenes in the dream, and who is seeing that separately from the dream. Do you get that point, right? In the dream state, what happens? The same Atma is there. And he pulls back everything, all the vasanas from your subtle body, and then create the dream inside for you. And you are watching the dream, and there Atma is seeing, he himself is seeing his representation, that Jiva got involved in that, all that dream. So that world is created by Atma. Atma creates that. So first he spoke in the bodily level what Atma does. Through the senses, enjoying sense gratification, everything, all that. Then in the dream level, through the mind, how he enjoys. That was spoken there, right? So, and then the interesting thing is, in the dream state, he is seeing everything, what was happening there. He is observing all that. And, and that is, who is doing that is Brahman. Then he talked about the Atman, third level, Atman level, right? So, Atman Tattvam, he spoke to him. What is that? He spoke that, what is the destination of the Jiva? What will happen to the Jiva after death, right? Body will get destroyed here into ashes, right? Atman doesn't have birth or death. Then, who has got the rebirth? Who has got the rebirth, right? So, Jiva, what Krishna is saying here, same thing from the Kathopanishad, Sushma Shariram, that belongs to Jiva, right? So, Jiva leaves the body, gross body, and goes into another body. We said that, Vasamsi Jirnai, that verse, yeah? Navani Krishnadi Naroparani Tata Sharirani Vihaya Jirna Anyadi Samyadi Navani Dehi. All that verse is referring to that. So when a cloth gets old, you throw it away, and new cloth you take. Similarly, when the prarabdham is over, you get rid of this body, and a new body, you take it again. And that is what is mentioned here also in this verse, Yatha Karmam Yatha Shrutam. Here he is saying here. See, yoni manye prabhadyande shariratvai dehinam sthanu manyone samyadi samyandi yatha karma yatha. That is an important word. Yatha karmam yatha shudam. He says, yatha karmam yatha shudam. Right? So, according to his karmam, and according to his vasana and according to his awareness, bodham, knowledge, right? He takes a new body. And all these things, Yamadharma Raja explained that to Nachiketas, right? So, after hearing that, Nachiketas asked him, at the same time, he said that this Vasamsi Jirna Yatha Vihaya, that word what we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita, right? When it goes from one birth to another birth to another birth, why does it keep going like this? Why does it not come to an end, right? Now, people will say, some people will tell you this, when you are talking to different types of people, some people will say, I don't believe in rebirth. Is it not? Many people will say like that. So, what we have to remember is this. This is not something for your belief. Whether you believe it or not, it is immaterial. Whether you believe it or not, right? The rebirth is not such a thing, right? It is a relative thing in the sense that it is a fact, but whether you believe it in that or you don't believe in it, doesn't matter. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter, right? Suppose you, I say, I believe in it, nothing is going to change. Do you understand the thinking behind it? Whether you believe it or not, it is immaterial. So people, you see, this is coming from these people who don't understand the Vedic philosophy properly. They are God, for example. People will always ask this question, do you believe in, which God do you believe? Do you believe in God, they say. Now, rishis don't give any damn to your belief. Belief has no meaning, basically. Belief is a useless thing. Belief system it is. Everything is a belief system, right? Belief system is meaningless. Because I believe something today, tomorrow I can believe something else. So what is the meaning of this belief? Belief is all in the mind, isn't it? And rishis don't give any value to your mind, any value to your belief either. So if you hold on to spiritual life with beliefs, it won't last very long. After some time the belief will start changing and you are in trouble. Spiritual life has to be based on Shraddha and Shastram, nothing else. That's why it's so important that if spiritual life is not centered around Shastram and Shraddha, your belief will shake one day and you will fall after that, right? So, a child is born, for example. When a child is born, as I mentioned before, whether you believe it or not, it is a different thing. But, this rebirth is only an explanation to everything. What happens? That's all. You have to take it in that way. An explanation to what happens after death. Yeah. So, a child is born, he is not born blank, right? He is bringing with him a lot of vasanas from previous life. With a lot of vasanas, right? And everything is purva vasana from previous life, right? In rare cases, they have managed to identify those vasanas. People, you know, people who do research about life after death, they go to different people, children when they are born, and they will try to find out what kind of vasana the person had, right? So sometimes, in one or two instances, you saw them in the report also, that they had some remembrance of their previous life, purva janma smarana, remembrance of previous life, right? So a child who was 8 years old, they conducted a research about him. In rare cases it happens that he remembered where his previous life was in the last birth, right? And a lot of information he was able to give. They took the child and went to that place to verify if it is all true or not. And they call it as parapsychology of that, right? And there are a lot of things, even psychologists could not explain that, how this all happened. There are instances that has happened, rare cases though, that normally we are not given that information, right? So these things are happening On a relative plane, rebirth is a fact. Rebirth is a fact. That means jiva leaves this body and goes into another body, right? Why is it required? And what is the reason behind that? Reason behind that is, he is thinking that he is jiva. His identification with the body through ahankaram makes him think that he is a jiva, right? And that's one reason for that. As long as I am thinking I am a jiva, and I am ahankaram, ahankaram is jiva, ahankaram is there, and I am a jiva, I will have rebirth. That's the first thing to know. First thing to know is that, as long as I am on that state, that is why I'm saying it's a relative thing. For example, if you have realized the truth here, you don't have rebirth then. Suppose you have realized the truth here itself, you won't have a rebirth because there is nothing to take rebirth. That's why it's a relative thing it is. Krishna's approach in Bhagavad Gita is also exactly like this. Initially, he is trying to tell us the truth is only Atma, not Jiva. Jiva is not a reality. Jiva is there because ahankaram is there. Therefore, Jiva is there. And suppose you manage to free yourself from that ahankaram ego, that means Jiva is dead here itself. There is no more rebirth after that. So, it's a relative thing happening to people who are in the ahankaram level. Wherever, suppose ahankaram is there strongly in us, it will keep us taking from one body to another, to another body, to another body, to another body. Therefore, it's a relative thing, he's saying here. So, it is to explain that you will have to move from one body. This rebirth is the process, what is spoken, right? So, the first reason is this, that ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one that you are trying to destroy through bhakti, through jnanam, through karmam. Everything, what is sadhana means? Destruction of this ego inside, ahankaram inside, right? The second reason is, when there is ahankaram, it has got a desire to travel. Desire to travel, right? So, because of these two things, ahankaram and the desire to travel, and that is why this rebirth is happening. Rebirth is happening, right? So even now you can see people have got desire to travel, is it not? Only you can't travel, therefore you are staying in one place. Suppose body was very healthy and and you had all the money to travel. Everybody likes to travel, wander around everywhere in the world, every nook and corner. You want to go and see what's happening here, what's happening there. That desire to travel. And that same desire, suppose you had an opportunity to go, nobody will deny if I could go to heavenly planets and see what's all happening there. And similarly, hellish planets also, see what's really going on there. That desire to travel is in everybody. It's there. So these two things, one thing is that thinking that he is a jiva, which means ahankaram is working strongly. And secondly, this thing called the desire to travel. So this desire, what we have for travel, because it is so deeply inside, even when you die, it will still be there. And that is the reason, for that purpose only, Pitrulokam, Devalokam, Gandharvalokam, all different kinds of planets spoken in the Vedam, to see that you will have to travel to all these places. Now, traveling means, you can do that traveling not without a gross body either. It is not all like the way we travel here. Yeah? So at the time of death, so ordinary people, this is their situation. One body to another body, punarjanmam, right? And that depends on that desire, what you have cultivated at the time of death. And this story is mainly spoken in the Bhagavatam through Bharata. Bharata story. It's not their Bharata story. Now you see another interesting thing here. That our Shabadev told us, it is his eldest son, isn't it? Who? Bharata. Shabadev is telling us, Gurur na sasya, Sajano na sasya, that verse, famous verse, isn't it? You are not a spiritual master, you are not a father, you are not a mother. If you have not helped your child to come out of the cycle of birth and death. But in his own case, he couldn't do it. Bharata didn't make it in one life, did he? Varada also had to take another two births more to come out of it. So then why is it said like that? Sridharajani Swami says here, the reason is this, that to keep us focused on the truth. That unless you are told that this is your duty, whether you will succeed in that or not is another thing. Just because, see, some householders in our movement also, they said they don't want to have any children because they said we cannot take guarantee that we will take them back to the spiritual world. They felt like that, so they didn't want to have any children because of this. The people discuss all these things all the time, right? So, gururna sasya, sojanana sasya, pidana sasya, janinina sasya, namoja yedya samubeda mrityum, that verse, that you are not a father if you are not able to help your children to become free from the cycle of birth and death. If you put that condition in this world, what will happen? What will happen? People will not have any children, is it not? So it is not with that intention it is spoken, because Rishabhadev himself couldn't do it. Bharata had to come and then he fell down and became a deer and then he became Jadabharata and all that, right? So Bharata thought about the deer, and that thoughts came very strongly inside, and that form of the deer has captured him. He got stuck in that form of the deer. The beauty of its eyes, and the way the deer was playing with him, rubbing his body on Bharata. Bharata has left all the palace, everything, and gone to forest. And there he gets attached to this deer, seeing that relationship with the deer. So, there, what happened? So then what happened? That form of that deer came in his mind at the time of death, and obviously he has to become a deer, right? So, there's some more thing. If you think about the grandchild and die, you will come back to that family again. Sometimes, you know what happens? A new child is born in a big family, right? A new child is born. So all the women are talking to each other. Look at him. He looks exactly like a grandfather, he says. Actually, he's looking exactly like him. Grandfather himself will come back again in another body because of the attachment. You see? That's what he's saying here, that it's actually he himself after death, grandfather died some time back, and due to attachment, he has come back and taken birth in the same family. Right? So, because he does not want to leave that home, got so attached there with the family environment, he doesn't want to leave. Right? So he has come back and taken birth again. So in this way, the jiva will travel around all the time, all over. Right? And even Lord Buddha has spoken about his previous life. Right? And many times what he has done in previous life, Bodhisattva, he has spoken about that, right? And so the Purva Janma Spriti, many people had in previous lives, what has happened, right? And others also talk about it. So it's a quarter to now, so we'll continue with that next Wednesday at Lokesh's house. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, Srila. Yeah. 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 Yeah.